I'm Eitan, and this is the review after City beat Chelsea 1-0 in the FA Cup semi-final. Joining me to look back on it and just chat in general on this fine Monday afternoon, I've got Bailey. Afternoon, mate.
Afternoon.
How are we doing?
Yeah, no, good. I think a little bit of sigh of relief, a little bit of enjoyment of the results of the weekend, but something I'm looking forward to getting into in this podcast.
Excellent. Well, look, I think before we get into our game and the kind of strangeness and oddity of it all, Arsenal 1, Liverpool 1. Has the fact that it's now in our hands, the title itself, are you more relaxed when you're checking their results out?
I think me being relaxed would be just because I've more confidence in the players, knowing that they know exactly what they need to do. We've seen them do it before. And the fixtures are now like laid out to say, just win these games. You don't have to look over your shoulder or anything like that. You know what you need to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of similar, although I do think that I feel like there's more twists and turns here. Like I'd kind of convinced myself a week ago that we're going to win all the rest of our games and the others will. And for some reason, the weekend has left me feeling as though there is another sting in the tail. I think the only question is, because I think, for example, Fulham was an interesting game in that I sort of felt as though the big question will be what kind of Fulham team turned up. And it felt very much to me like they played a little too dead. Like you could kind of feel like there was nothing riding on it for them. They would have been happy with the 0-0, but they didn't really show enough, particularly in the second half. They just didn't get near Liverpool. And it left me with the sense of they're not really that arsed here. They'll take the 2-1 or the 3-1 or wherever it ended up landing in terms of the score. Wolves Arsenal was also a bit similar. Felt a bit kind of like after Arsenal took the lead, that felt like that was going to be that. I didn't really feel like Wolves we're going to do much more. But that's sort of it, that I don't think that it's going to come down to who's got things to play for and who hasn't got things to play for. I think it's just more about what day you catch these teams on and what sort of mood they're in.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And I think it would be foolish to think Arsenal or Liverpool were going to lose every single game. They were going to get wins. They were going to bounce back. They were going to have pressure that they needed to respond. So I don't think it's a massive surprise this weekend, but when you look ahead to the fixtures coming, Liverpool was it 3 or 4 away games in a row. Arsenal have the Spurs away, the United away. There's, like you said, there's plenty more twists and turns. And we know Brighton last year caused a lot of problems for City, especially in the home game this season as well. So I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if City maybe draw a game, if Arsenal or Liverpool have another loss to come.
Yeah, I know for sure. I think the Merseyside derby is obviously on Wednesday and that, because Everton are still in danger of relegation. I think it will be interesting to see what sort of performance they can pull out of the bag. And then obviously it's West Ham away for Liverpool at the weekend, although West Ham have collapsed pretty dramatically, to be honest. I've almost given up any hope that West Ham can get anything out of that game, particularly after the Palace result at the weekend.
I think the thing with West Ham is the manager, really, isn't it? It's gone on and on. You've seen so many pundits say, wow, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. With the fans that aren't happy with David Moyes, and if you go back to last season and they go out of the European competition, he's absolutely going to get sacked at the end of that season.
Yeah.
Whereas I think now I think his contract runs out in the summer, so he'll go. So there's no point really sacking him. You've got these really talented players in Kudus and Paqueta and Bowen that obviously would fit a different style of manager. So, like you said, they've kind of fallen apart in a bit of a limbo and wouldn't really be that reliable for a result really anymore.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the kind of oddness of what the Premier League is and the kind of narratives that build around clubs and managers and how that ends up affecting decision making. I think for all those reasons, the Palace result probably ends up being quite a big one for Moyes, because I think that Glasner kind of represents the other side of the coin, in that obviously Palace had Hodgson, They got rid of him. They brought a fella in who, I'm not going to say like necessarily has come in to play more attacking football, but he's certainly come in to play better football overall. And he goes and he gets that big result off the back of the huge result against Liverpool at Anfield. And you wonder whether stuff like that just kind of heaps more pressure upon Moyes, because he ends up feeling more and more like yesterday's man for West Ham's owners.
I'm not so sure if they'll make a move or do anything really with the West Ham. Like I said, if the contract's running out in the summer, you're better off just focusing your time on recruiting the right guy and looking around whilst the team moves to the end. They're not going to get relegated. You know, the time in Europe has come to an end. I think it will peter out that season. And then next summer, we'll probably be quite interested to see where they go. And just a quick thing on what you said with Glasner. From what I've looked up, people said he was very good and able to adapt his team from being some team that could counter-press and a team that could really counter-attack well, so they could kind of spring right out of their block and be quite devastating. And I think in the Liverpool game, in the West Ham game, you've seen elements of that with the quality that they have. And I think that's probably the right kind of approach. If they're going to be a mid-table team trying to move up, they need to be able to adapt but still be dangerous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I didn't realise that Moyes' contract was up in the summer. I wonder whether that also feeds into a little bit the inconsistent results. I never think it's good if a manager's going into a summer where his contract is up and there's no real certainty around what his future will be. And I guess it has felt like that with Moyes for a while.
Yeah, I'm seeing reports about Lopetegui. I'm seeing people talk about Thomas Frank. Like, if people are having those kind of conversations, then they're clearly not interested. And a contract extension isn't going to be left this late by a club, is it?
Yeah, no, that's... yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. All right, so City arrive at Wembley after what was a weird sort of aftermath of the Real Madrid game, where it felt as though everybody was kind of all right with the fashion in which we'd gone out. Like, I didn't sense any type of crisis or anybody going, oh my God, that was terrible. I think we all agree that we played reasonably well and we're a little bit unlucky in a couple of moments, and Madrid were lucky in a couple of moments. But just reflecting upon that result and how it then framed the game against Chelsea, how important do you feel? Did the Chelsea game become more important after the defeat to Madrid? And how important was it for you personally?
I think it just made the result become more important at the weekend rather than the performance, because we knew what kind of players were coming. We knew that when Pep rotates, it doesn't work out. So he's got to rotate if he wants to win this game. And then the importance, like you said, it shifts onto this game because they've gone out to Madrid. If we'd gone through in that game and we had a semi-final coming up, you can kind of stomach, okay, we're through there. That was a tough few games against Madrid. But, you know, we can stomach going out in the FA Cup. But now to go out with two competitions in a week, as good as the mentality of City is, that's still going to be a blow to any set of players.
Mm. Were you surprised by the strength of the team?
Not the strength, maybe just a couple personnel. So I would have thought maybe Doku, Bob, or someone else would have got in. But I think on the whole, he was always going to play strong.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of felt the same. I was quite surprised in the aftermath of Madrid, the number of people who had predicted that it'd be a heavily rotated team. I felt as though, one, a lot of those players that played in Madrid would want to go again after what happened in midweek. And secondly, it's just not a good look to go out of two competitions over 3 days or 4 days or however long it was. And so you almost want as many of your best possible players out there as you can possibly get. I'm a little bit like you that I was a bit disappointed that Doku didn't get a start. Maybe it would have been nice to see Bob, but I can also understand why he didn't go with Bob. And then, yeah, but beyond that, I was pretty all right with the team itself. And yeah, like just The more that I thought about it in the hour between when the team was announced and kickoff, the more I was like, yeah, all right, I'm well up for this. I want to see how this lot start, which segues me really nicely into how that lot started. How do you begin to analyze a game like that? Even the first 20 minutes, like, what did you make of it? And did you have that thing of, I personally, 10 minutes in, was just a bit like, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to play everybody who played on Wednesday.
I think the trade-off coming in was, if you have Rod Reeves exhausted and then you have Kovacic and Nunez that are fit, is their level still going to be as good as Rodri or not? So you have that trade-off on the selection. But when you start the game, if your expectations are for a very good City performance, then I think you found out in the first 5 minutes that that wasn't going to be the case. And we know with John Stones, for example, coming back from injury, how he takes really a few games to get sharp. And we saw that again. And I think the comment Pep said after the game about, when Bernardo's on the pitch, I feel calm, even though it's quite chaotic. I think that's kind of the approach with the team, is despite how kind of knackered everybody was, you knew you had the quality out there that they could kind of handle the chaos.
Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking at it. I guess I'm jumping ahead to the end, but there was something very vibes about what Guardiola said after the game when he was challenged about rotating and why he didn't rotate more. And he sort of said, well, I rotated, was it last year and they lost 3-0 to Liverpool, or the year before?
They were 3-0 down at half time to Liverpool. And that was 2 years ago, if I remember right.
Right, okay. So he kind of went, yeah, you know, I thought about it, but then I remembered that Liverpool game, and it smelled a little bit vibes to me when he said that, because as a fan, right, I might think like that and go, oh, you know what? You did that 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and you were 3-0 down. You can't do that again. But Guardiola is the master of, when previous results, previous performances are brought up, he's the master of saying it's irrelevant. You know, it's a new game, and it's just going to be, you know, what will happen tomorrow will not be dictated to by what happened a year ago or 2 years ago. So for him to invoke that as a reason for not rotating felt a little flimsy to me. Am I being harsh?
No, I think it's just, we have a lot of factors involved, really, don't we? Like, we're trying to compare to where they did go through the knockout stages in these previous games, so that's a factor. And then they didn't go to extra time. And then you look at the players on the bench, as much as we're both very optimistic about Bob's future, he still played less than 1,000 minutes. And then Doku is just coming up to 2,000 minutes as well. So they're definitely not players that are trusted to the length of, say, Mahrez, who would start in that game. So I think it's more just all those kind of factors add together, don't they? Like, trying to dissect, I don't think it would necessarily be one thing, but I think a bit of a collection coming together.
Would you have made more changes?
I think what I said at the start was, I'd either Bob or Doku I would have brought in, just because it would have added you something a little bit different to go towards in the game. Whereas you look at the team from the first 10 to 20 minutes, they were still trying to figure out what way they wanted to move forward through the pitch.
I think it's a good moment to talk a little bit about what Chelsea did and how City responded to that. So firstly, is it harsh to say City did well to stay in the match?
I guess it's how much you weigh players finishing, isn't it, really, when it comes to analysing? Do you just go, because that chance was created, City must concede? Or do you weigh it on the fact that Chelsea were poor in those moments when they could have finished?
Well, I mean, I think most of those chances that Jackson has, they're pretty high XG chances, right?
Yeah. But there's still something we've seen all season from Chelsea. Even in a game that was 4-4 and then in a 1-1, we saw a Chelsea team that was wasteful in front of goal. So it's not really like it was a surprise to see that.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.